This message comes from NPR sponsor, Hulu. Based on shocking true events, the new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, tells the story of a savage murder in a small town. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
Listeners, heads up, this conversation includes a lot of adult language. My guest talks about sex, and she uses profanity, so perhaps listen to this one when kids are not around. You're listening to It's Been a Minute from NPR. I'm Sam Sanders.
Why does Sam look lost?
Because I am.
Wait. Did you say you finding yourself right now?
It's been a journey. My guest this episode is Tiffany Haddish.
First of all, never heard no black person like, I gotta go find myself. No, that's white people. You never hear, like, I gotta go backpacking through Europe to find myself. That's white kids. White people say, you ain't never hear no black person like, I gotta go find myself. I'm finna go to Africa. Except for, like, maybe Dave Chappelle and me.
Tiffany is so much. Actress, comedian, author, and all-around funny person. And Tiffany, she has had a really busy year. When we talked, she was drinking out of this branded swag cup from one of the shows she hosts, Friday Night Vibes, this movie showcase on TBS. All right, okay, what is that? Friday Night Vibes on a Monday morning. Look at you.
Yes, drinking coconut water.
Wow. I tried coconut water once. Didn't like it.
Okay, did you try it out of a bottle or did you try it out of actual coconut?
Out of a bottle, and I was like, this is...
Yeah, and it's nasty. You know why I said... Okay, so coconut...
Tiffany also hosts Kids Say the Darndest Things on CBS. And Tiffany starred in perhaps my favorite movie from 2021 so far, the prank film Bad Trip. Also, one more thing, Tiffany is the voice of a very self-confident toucan named Tuca in the animated series Tuca and Birdie. And her co-star in this show, comedian Ali Wong, as Birdie, a song thrush.
I just need to see a good shrink for, like, a session or two. Then boom! No more panic attacks. Easy!
Aw, I thought I was your panic mechanic.
I can't always rely on you. Plus, you're busy going on all of your dates.
Online dating sucks! I can't encapsulate my raw, enigmatic allure in a profile.
Tuca and Birdie just returned for its second season on Adult Swim. All right, we cover a lot of ground in this interview. I talk with Tiffany about her many projects and her hopes and dreams for the entertainment industry. And she also told me perhaps the craziest Nicolas Cage story I have ever heard in my life. All right, let's get to it. We'll begin with Tuca and Birdie. If you could be any bird, what bird would you be and why?
Ooh, if I could be any bird in the whole wide world, I would want to be... Yeah. A beautiful, one of those macaw parrots, the big parrot, the red, or I would want to be a blue one. I would want to be a blue one though, with the with the beautiful colored wings underneath. And I would let, just I can go, what's up, y'all? What's up, y'all? She ready. Like, yeah, I would want to be a bird that could talk. For sure.
Okay. So this show, Tuca and Birdie, for those hearing this interview, watching this interview, who haven't watched the show, tell them what the show is, briefly.
So Tuca and Birdie is a cartoon, an animated series about two birds, female birds, in their mid-30s that are dealing with real-life issues, but in a humorous way. One of them has... You know, the challenge of finding the right therapist.
You want me to cut Tuca?
Out of your life, yes. And ditch the boyfriend, too. I suggest a full relationship detox.
That's terrible advice. What kind of therapist are you?
I specialize in severing attachments.
And the other is, like, trying to, you know, deal with not being an alcoholic anymore.
It's harder for me, Tuca. You know that. I can't just get naked and jump in a pool like you can.
I never asked you to stay sober for me.
Well, I wanted to, but...
Why would you lie about it?
I don't know.
Finding their place to fit in the world, but still be open and invulnerable, but be guarded at the same time.
Yeah. I like that your character, Tuca, in the show, she's kind of a hot mess. Kind of impulsive, doesn't always have her stuff together. What characteristic of Tuca do you most see in yourself?
I most see the I can do anything aspect of her. That's definitely a lot of me.
I wish I had a driving force like that. A thing I'm so good at, it kicks the asses of all the other things I'm good at. But I'm equally exemplary at all things. Damn, my extreme competency.
I really believe I can do anything. I might not be the best at it, but I can, I'll try it. That's me. And she's a really good, even though she might be kind of into herself a little bit, which I guess I can be that too. But she really cares about her friends. She really super cares about her friends and will do anything for her friend. And that is me 110%. I ride for my friends because I feel like that's a family I made. Like you have the family that God gave you, but, and that's what I feel like is the dynamic between Tuca and Birdie. They made this sisterhood together.
So this show goes very deep into the complexities of deep female friendships, and all of the reviews talk about how it's really awesome to see friendship explored in this way. I'm wondering if doing the show, voicing the show, has changed the way that you look at friendship yourself.
No, it hasn't changed the way that I look at friendship at all. I think my friendships are like the most important thing in the world, and I focus on them. I've always focused on them. I guess I feel like because coming out of foster care, you know, in that system, I was building family. I was building friends. And I think of my friends
several times over.
Right. And when I call you friend, I'm calling you family, really. If I call you, if I'm like, that's my boo, that's my associate, you know, we cool, that's the homie. You know, that's the homie. Yeah, but you're not really my friend. You're not somebody
the
that
friend
I
friend tier is family tier.
Yes.
I get that.
Yes.
I get that.
For me,
anyway. Yeah. So besides when Tuca and Birdie, I just watched you, I think I watched that movie 4 or 5 times, and I interviewed Eric Andre about it, Bad Trip, what I think is one of the best films I've seen in the last several years. I cannot speak highly enough of this movie and your role in it. You've talked about it already, but I'm just going to ask you about it again. How much fun was it? Because it looked so much fun.
It was super fun. It was really fun to be able to play like a hard ass in like, be in the moment in improv, like, okay, we knew what the bones of the sketch is. We know what we're trying to get out of these people. Go for it. And it's like, yeah. Let me tell you something. There were some parts that was really scary for me. Like
what?
Like when I got into it with the white man, you know, and I'm arguing with him, like, I know you know them. I know you know them.
This is you.
I know.
Your name is Craig, right?
It is. And I don't
Where
know.
Is these dudes at?
I don't know.
But
where
when you
at.
See them the next time you see these. Let them know I'm gonna kill their ass.
Well, I ain't got your car, and stop yelling at
me. No, you know where my car at, Craig. Seeing your ass on Facebook and everything with them.
What the
f***? Where's my car at?
Ask your f***ing brother.
What? Tell me where my brother is.
That one right there, I thought he was gonna punch me. I really was like, oh, they gonna have securities. Yeah, y'all gonna have to drop these cameras y'all got in these backpacks and all this, and y'all gonna have to come and get me because I'm fighting back. Because he was very upset. So, and I told them, and I said, y'all hire me, this cool, but just know if somebody try to fight me, I'm going to whoop their ass. I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight. If they try me,
gotta do what you gotta do.
If they put their hands on me, I'm with it. I'm with the I'm with it.
She's ready, as you might say.
Yes. They got to touch me first, though. So you better knock me out. You better knock me out. Unless you touch me, it's on. It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
It's on.
That's what my mama taught me.
Coming up. Tiffany Haddish is very, very famous for her funny stories about celebrities. If you didn't know this already, just Google these words. Tiffany Haddish, Jada Pinkett Smith, Groupon. When we come back, Tiffany shares another celebrity story. This one about Nicolas Cage. And trust me, it is one for the ages.
This message is brought to you by NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance. You call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. Tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options within your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This week on NPR's Life Kit, financial independence. We want to help you work towards financial freedom, wherever you're at.
Concentrate right now on what you can do to better your finances, to prepare for that next crisis, not out of fear, but out of preparation.
Listen now to the Life Kit podcast from NPR.
You're doing voiceover work in Tuca and Birdie. You're doing prank stuff in Bad Trip. You've done other movies that are scripted. What is the hardest type of acting for you? She's like, none of it's hard. I'm good at all of it.
No, there's some hard acting. So I did a movie with, it's going to be coming out, I think, this year, with Nicolas Cage. And
wait, shut up.
Yeah, I did a movie with Nicolas Cage called...
oh, my God.
I don't know if they're going to keep that name, but I think it's called The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. And he's amazing, right? He's like, oh, amazing, mind-blowing. He's good at what he does. He's been doing it a long time. And I felt like it was the hardest thing for me to do in acting is to act when I don't know who I'm acting with, or I haven't met who I'm acting with, and I have a story to tell that person, but I have to be in this character, but my brain is like, you gotta tell them, you better tell them, you gotta, and so like, I got this thing, you know, like, if I see something, I say it, but we're doing this scene, and I don't know Nicolas Cage, and he seemed to be like the kind of guy that's like, all right, so now we're gonna do this scene, and this is how it goes, all right, here we go, yeah, nice to meet you. And it's like, I've been watching you my whole life.
Gel Bond?
Six things. Like, it's like, as soon as you're there, it's on. And it's like, I'm not ready yet. She not ready. Because I had to tell
him
this.
Was he cool, though?
He was cool. You could tell he was getting irritated. And I was like, look, I'm really intimidated by you, and I need to tell you something. He was like, you, Tiffany Haddish, intimidated? It's like, I have to tell you this story, man. And once I tell you the story, it'll be fine. So I tell him the story, and then everything was fine.
Can you tell me the story?
When I was 17, is this a story I should tell? This might be inappropriate.
Yes, yeah, do it. Tell
an inappropriate story. That was it was a debate of that too. Should I tell Nicolas Cage this? Is this inappropriate though? I think, I don't know. I don't want him to hit me with the sexual harassment, but I got to tell him. And he thought it was hilarious. So basically, I was at the movie theater seeing Face Off. I was about 17 years old on a date with this guy. And nobody else was in the theater, really. It was just us in the back of the theater. And we started to make out. We started making out and stuff. And then it was my first time being fiddled with, I will say like that. Okay? And as I was...
Thank you, Nicolas Cage.
As I was achieving a momentous moment that I had never experienced in my life, I opened my eyes, and the eyes of Nicolas Cage are looking into my eyes. Super big, right? So, and that was my first big. Oh, so now I'm standing across from this man with those same big old eyeballs, some same eyes. They might not be massive like a movie screen big, but those are the same exact eyes, and they're looking at me in real life, in real time. And all I can think about is the guy that I went to the movies with. And how we were like, you know, and we were making out, and then that feeling, and then how weird I feel remembering this in front of him, and then there him is looking at me, and my brain is just like, do you remember that day? Oh my gosh, we had popcorn, and we had this, and it was, and then you were like, and then his eyes are so blue, eyes are like looking at us, and then they're looking at us now. Should we be doing it right now? Like, what are we doing? You know, and it was just like, oh, I have to tell him this story so it can go away. And when
you told him, what did he do?
He laughed super hard. And he goes, you know, my first wife, she saw me in a movie and she said she was going to marry me, and we ended up getting married. I said, yeah, well, I didn't say that I was going to marry you, nor let you put your fingers anywhere on me. Okay. I'm just letting you know. That's a thought that's been running through my mind, and it's keeping me from doing my job. But now that I've told you, I think this is going to be just fine. And boom. Oh, so like it is hard for me to perform. It's hard for me to act in anything if there is like a mental distraction going on.
Why aren't more celebrities as candid about interacting with other celebrities like you are?
I guess
a lot of folks are so cagey about this stuff.
Because maybe they didn't have a good interaction with them, or maybe they're like, oh, they're afraid that nobody will want to work with them anymore. I mean, I'm not out here talking bad about anybody. I think there's some pretty amazing people, and people don't know it because they don't talk about it. just the people that know them know. I like to share my experiences. I think that's important. And I think when people encounter me, they know that Tiffany's probably going to share this. So I'm treated very well. Only a few have been mean, nasty, and rude. And I think that's because that's who they are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't talk about them. They don't get to shine with the haddish. You understand?
Shine with the haddish. You know, all these stories about you having fun with adults, with actors. You also host Kids Say the Darnest Thing on CBS. And it seems as if you like the kids, too. They're pretty fun to talk to.
Let me be honest with you. I enjoy being around kids sometimes more than adults because they're more, like, they lie. Kids lie, but they're pretty honest, too. You know?
They're emotionally honest. They can't hide their emotions.
They cannot hide their emotions. And I'm really good at reading people, especially kids. And they make me laugh. And also, I feel like sometimes I'm a kid. And to be around them reminds me that I'm not the kid that I see in my head, but I am a kid in some ways.
So how many kids do you want?
I was thinking, okay, and tell me if I'm crazy, but I was thinking about getting about 4 or 5 of them.
You're crazy.
On some Josephine Baker type stuff. Now, I get them older. 5 and up.
Okay.
Okay. 5 to 13. Okay. So they could be, you know, they could talk to me. They could tell me what's going on with them. I was hanging out this past weekend with some of my friends who they were adopted and they're telling me their story. And then turns out like his wife and her friend and her sister, they were adopted as well. And they were telling me their adoption story. And I was like, wow. First of all, I've known you all these years, and I didn't know that she was adopted, and she's from Russia. And they were telling me how like they have a ballet that they were in, and they had to like sing and dance and stuff, and they would come to America and perform, and people would pick them. And I was like, "Oh my God,
are you serious?"
Yes, people would pick them. I was like, "This is crazy." And this was like in the 90s. This is not like a long time ago, like that long ago.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my goodness, because it's so expensive. It's so, like, I'm like going through the process and it is crazy process and kind of expensive and doesn't make sense. She's like, you should go overseas. And I was like, oh yeah, I could definitely go to Africa and adopt it. She was like, no, I was talking about Russia or Ukraine. And I was like,
would you get a white kid?
Yes. But I'm like, okay, the world would probably turn up. They would probably go bananas. Like, because what celebrity have you seen? Black celebrity, have you ever seen adopt a white baby? Kid.
I've never seen it.
I mean, but I could be like, oh, would you like to have some babies for me? I could get somebody to have babies for me, I guess. But I think, no cap. I would adopt any kind of a child. It doesn't matter if they're black or whatever. But the way that they talk to me at the agency, the adoption people, they make it seem like it's like, no, that's not an option. So the only option, it feels like the only option is black for me. That's what it feels like the option is, or maybe mixed. That's what it feels like the way they talk to me. But like I tell them, anyone will do, 5 to 13 is where I'm looking.
Yeah. All right. There you go. There you go. My favorite moment, speaking of you and kids, was when you were hosting the show with the kids on CBS, and you find out while filming with the kids that you won a Grammy for Best Comedy Album.
Yeah, I've been nominated a couple of times for some things.
But I just won a Grammy.
And I love, I just what?
You just won a Grammy.
I just love being nominated.
I just won a Grammy?
No.
Are you serious?
I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth.
I mean, wait. Y'all see this?
It's still like one of the just purest emotional moments I've seen in a long time. How was that moment? Because you find out you win this Grammy for Best Comedy Album, which hasn't happened for a black woman in like 35 years since Whoopi.
Since the 80s, yes.
And you process that in real time in front of these kids. How was that?
That moment on Kids Say when I was, when I found out I won a Grammy was huge for me. And it was so historical and so important that it happened at that moment, right?
Yeah.
I did not think it was going to happen at all. So I wasn't really.
Who did you think was going to win?
Jerry Seinfeld or Bill Burr. Oh. Like, I would like it to have been, like, if I was going to lose, I would like it to have been to Bill Burr. Because I think he is one of the funniest comics I know. He deserves it. Like, I think he's amazing. But for for me to win, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Seriously? Yeah, and then I'm here with these two beautiful little brown girls, you know, and they're seeing this happen, and I'm trying to compose myself.
Can I tell you why I'm crying?
Why?
It's a lot of bumpy roads that you cross, right? And it's a lot of times you feel like, well, am I doing the right thing? Is this good enough? Am I good enough? Am I strong enough to do this job? And then you just have to believe in yourself as much as you can.
And like, there's a part of me that wanted to fall out on the floor and be like, well, like, you know, and cry really hard because I worked so hard. I worked in for so long. And to be recognized by my peers, like, we approve of this, Tiffany, you're great. Like, that's huge. And then for it not to have happened for so many years, right? That's like insane. And it's a category that's been around from the beginning.
Yeah. Do you think it's getting better for women in comedy?
I think so. I'm hoping so. It feels like it is. I feel like if the women look out for each other more, like it just in all aspects, if women just started supporting each other more like men do, I feel like men, you guys like really look out for each other.
Coming up, Tiffany stays busy for a very good reason.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor BritBox. Discover powerful new series like Three Little Birds and BAFTA-winning drama Time, starring Bella Ramsey, Tamara Lawrence, and Jodie Whittaker. Stream the best of British TV only on BritBox. Start a free trial at BritBox.com.
You have said in interviews that you want to make 80 films by the time you're 50. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. Where do you think that drive comes from? Because a lot of folks are like, let me do enough movies to make enough money to sit my butt down and retire.
Well, here goes my thing. 80 films, I don't necessarily have to be in all of them, and they don't all have to be great. I want to make 80, though, because I just feel like that will create a lot of jobs for people. Every time you make a movie, it's anyway, the smallest crew could be 50, and the largest crew could be like 500 people. That's how many jobs are you creating? How much generational wealth are you creating when you get to tell a story and give other people opportunity to tell that story with you? So that's why.
Well, that's really nice.
At first, when people would ask me that, I would just be like, oh, it's just something I want to do. Because I was like scared to be like, I want to give people jobs. I want to see us working. I want to see our stories. And at first, I was scared to say that out loud because I thought like, oh, somebody like they try to put this ideal in your mind, like the white man upstairs, the man upstairs, he's going to block you. He's going to keep you from, when you talk about you want to give black people jobs, you talk about you want to do the integrate and all that, they're going to block you. And what I realize is it's not nobody blocking you but you, right?
And nobody the white guy that we imagine usually isn't even there. And sometimes the white guy that we imagine who wants to say no is looking at us and saying, oh, there's dollars here.
Yeah.
Black folks spend money,
too. And we'd like
to
make some of those dollars with you.
yes.
So what is this you're trying to do? Okay, mm-hmm. I don't understand it completely, but this is – okay, so this is what your people are into, though, right? I'm willing to invest in that. I want to see.
Yeah. It does feel like a moment where, like, finally these studios and these power players in the industry are realizing that black and brown people spend money to be entertained and you should be making stuff that caters to them. And you know what's weird, Tiffany? It feels like there are waves and ebbs and flows. I feel like when I was a kid in the early 90s, there were so many black sitcoms, so many black movies. It was everywhere. And then it went away. And now it seems like some of it's coming back. I don't know. Like, how do you feel? I mean, like, big picture, do you think the industry is just, like, getting more of us?
Well, big picture, let's just look at the history of television, the history of television.
Yeah.
Right? So it starts off very, very white. Then like the 70s come along and black exploitation movies and films, TV shows come out, right? That kind of saves Hollywood, the black exploitation run, saves Hollywood, saves the movie industry, saves the, you know, different TV stuff. So then, oh, okay, all right, so there's a market here. Okay, we can, we get our money up, we get to where we're good. Well, let's go back to what we know. Oh, shoot, we're falling off. Ah, let's get back to black.
Well, I remember when like UPN started. Like UPN was
the CW. Remember that?
CW with a little black frog mascot dancing around. And they were so black until they didn't have to be. And then it was like Felicity.
And then, yes, then it changes. So it's like,
yeah.
We can't get comfortable just because we see us and then don't request anything else. We have to keep putting in those requests, keep creating, keep the content going. And now there's no excuse. There's so many outlets. There's thousands of TV stations. There's so many. There's YouTube. There's all these different streaming things. There's so many avenues for us to create and tell our stories. There's even streaming sites that are Black-owned, Africa-based, whatever, that we could be putting our content up. And as long as we keep watching it and supporting it, they'll keep making more. When we're not supporting, they're like, well, we're not making no money off of this. What are we doing this for?
There you go. I agree. I like that. So then I know we're talking about Black movies, Black art, Black productivity, but I will say, you talk a lot about Meryl Streep and how much you like her. Y'all do a movie together. What's it about?
Okay, so I got a few options. I got like six.
Okay, you've thought about this.
I don't want to give all the juice away. But we could do one where she's a coach of sorts. Okay? Okay. Let's just say she's a coach. And I'm being coached by her. We could do that.
Life coach, sports coaching?
You name it.
Okay.
I'll take her guidance. It could be a doula. Okay, she could be my doula. Not to become a baby. Who knows?
Wow.
It could be
on that movie.
It could be some witchcraft stuff. She teaching me how to, you know, heal some crazy vortex that's been created in the universe that's hurting people of color. And she shows me how to fix the vortex and, you know, heal the nation. I don't know. Or she play my mama, right? Okay, so this in my mind, this is what it is. Okay,
explain that.
So she marries my dad, right? My dad is single dad raising me. She marries my dad. Turns out though, she more, how should I say, sassy. Than you would think, right? And so everything I learned from her. And so I'm like loud, sassy, like, hey, what's up? But turns out I get it from my white mom.
You got to call this movie White Mom.
We call it Girl's Trip 2. We call it Girl's Trip 2.
Mara, are you listening? Do this.
I think she should play my mama, who's like super, like when you first meet her, you think she's so like, oh, hello. And then you say something, she'd be like, what? Who is she talking to? Like, I just want to see Meryl Streep go off. Okay. I just want to see Meryl Streep here go, what? I want to say poop. I want to hit it to the left. What? Let me tell you something, okay? You messing with the wrong. I just want to see her go, and I want to see her snatch the soul. You know, when you throw the hand out and pull it back. When you're talking to somebody, throwing the hand out, pull it back. That's soul snatching right there. That's like, I'm pulling your card, hunty. We don't play this. I want to see her.
Well, so much of her soul snatching when she's in movies is like so restrained. Like, I think of her in Devil Wears Prada. Her soul snatcher just being like,
what you don't know is that sweater is not just blue, it's not turquoise, it's not lapis, it's actually cerulean.
Like, that was a snatch. She's so subtle with it. But you're saying you want to see it, but
I want to see her over the top with it. Maybe we do a short film and we just get, just where I'm coaching her on hood tactics. I just want to see her sassy as hell. I just want to see that because I think she could do it.
She could do anything. It's Meryl Streep.
She could do anything.
She could do it.
I would love to see her as a social worker who don't give a
And then she needs somebody to make her care. And that's me.
Do all of these things. I like that. Have you met her before?
Yes, only once.
Was she sweet?
She was the best. She was the best. Oh. I ran up on her at the red carpet at the Oscars. And then I told her she going to be my mama one day. And she was like, okay. She knew who I was. She was like, I was like, yeah, you know, you're going to be my mama one day. I'm just letting you know right now. At some point in time, you're going to be my mama on something, some kind of way, shape, or form. I don't know. And she was like, okay, honey. And then I did my little part on the Oscars. And I said the things again, is she going to be my mama? Just for one day.
Before all of this, meeting celebrities, Governor's Ball, Meryl Streep business, what was the worst job you had before comedy and acting took off?
Phone sex operator.
I did not know you did that.
Yeah.
Huh. I read everything about you and didn't read that.
It was only for 30 days.
Okay. What was your persona?
My name is Patricia. I'm Hawaiian and Black. I'm a student at USC. I'm also a cheerleader.
So 30 days. You didn't like it.
And wait, can you repeat that last question again?
Oh, I was asking, did you like it? Like, so worst job before you began acting and that.
No. You said that you were saying something about my breast size and how hard it was. No. I'm really strong. But you're probably hard, and that's why you said that. You're so nasty. Yo, Samuel, don't play like that.
I'm blushing, Tiffany. I'm blushing. Oh, my God. What did 30 days of being a phone sex operator teach you, if anything?
That men are disgusting. Men are so nasty. And a lot of them are so lonely. They just want somebody to talk to. A lot of times there's not even sex talk going on. It's more just like, my wife is this, my job is that. Like, they don't have anybody to talk to.
Men don't talk. We're not trained to talk. We're trained to do. We're not trained to talk.
Right. So when they call in on this line, they just start pouring their hearts out. And it's like, whoa, men are different. They're so different. Oh, so vulnerable, so sweet. It's very sensitive. And somebody like at work will say something to them that they don't like, and they'll be holding that all day long, all night, till like 4 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and they call me and they're like, Patricia, are you there? And I'm like, yeah, I'm here. I just finished studying for my finals. I'm so lonely right now. Me too, I'm lonely too. Why are you lonely? Are you lonely, Sam? You're so handsome. Thank you. Thank
really? You think so?
Yeah, you know you're handsome, Sam. My favorite thing about you is the way you laugh when you giggle. It just, I don't know, it does something to my insides. It makes me feel so good. Yeah, that giggle right there, Sam. That's my favorite.
Girl.
I love it.
Tiffany.
I just know you're feeling some joy in your heart, right? When you giggle like that. Like, it's like, also maybe a little discomfort, but that's okay. Sometimes it's, you got to be a little uncomfortable to change, you know?
There you go. You know, we talked a little bit about, like, the work that you were doing before your career really took off in this way, but, like, it was more than just phone sex operating. Like, you were broke, and I remember reading about you having to sleep in your car. But you were like, if I'm going to do it, it's going to be in Beverly Hills. So you were sleeping in your car in Beverly Hills. How long was that going on?
For like 3 months. Yeah, wow. For 3 months. Yeah.
And then
it happened 3 different times in like 3 months each time. So that was like, I had to learn. I feel like that was like God teaching me, like, learning to be humble enough not to have so much pride, because I had a lot of pride and didn't want to ask for help. And I had to learn how to ask for help.
Yeah. And well, and if this is correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin Hart ended up hooking you up with some money to get out of your car.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
How much did he give you?
$300. Kevin saw the stuff in my car and was like, what's going on with you? And I was like trying to be real, you know, like not really asking for help or anything. And he would not leave me alone about it. And I told him what was going on. And he gave me $300 and said, get yourself a hotel room for the week. And figure out what you're going to do. Like, make a list of goals. Get yourself a list of goals and start attacking those goals every day.
do at least one thing for each goal, right? And I was like, where am I going? So what hotel can I stay in for a whole week for $300 in L.A.? No.
Not a nice one. Not a nice one. Yeah.
Not a nice one. Definitely not a nice one. Not even a bad one. Not for $300 for the week.
But I found something.
But I found an hourly spot. So I went there, you know, the Momo.
Yeah.
Took an hour, wrote out everything, took a little nap or whatever. And then I was out. And then it's like everything started to come through. Like stuff started happening slowly.
What was the first goal you wrote down? Do you remember?
Get a place to live.
That's a good goal. That's a good goal.
Yeah.
If you could talk now to that Tiffany Haddish, sleeping in the car, getting a room by the hour, trying to figure out her goals, what would you, in your wisdom now, tell her?
I would tell her to don't worry as so much. Don't worry so much. Stay focused, right? You're going to find a place. Don't get married.
Don't get married. Thanks again to actress and comedian Tiffany Haddish. She is the voice of the character Tuca in the animated series Tuca and Birdie, which is now airing on Adult Swim. Also, Tiffany Haddish hosts two shows because she stays busy. Kids Say the Darndest Things on CBS and Friday Night Vibes on TBS. And Tiffany starred in my favorite movie this year, Bad Trip, on Netflix. Go watch it right now. Trust me on this one. Listeners, you can also watch an extended version, director's cut of this interview, where you'll see both of our faces, me and Tiffany. Just go to youtube.com/NPR. All right, listeners, I'm going to tell you a secret. For the next few weeks, I'm going to be gone. I'm taking 3 weeks of vacation all at once. I've never done this before in my life. I'm so excited and also so scared. This episode you're hearing now, it's actually publishing as I'm already out on vacation. But till I get back, the following episodes for the next few weeks, they'll be hosted by my friend and NPR colleague, Aisha Roscoe. She'll begin hosting this Friday, and she'll do it for a few weeks after that. Be nice to her, okay? All right, this episode of It's Been a Minute was produced by Andrea Gutierrez, and it was edited by Jordana Hochman. Also, special thanks to the NPR video crew, Searing Bista, Nikolai Hammer, and Nick Michael. All right, listeners, till we meet again, be good to yourselves. I'm Sam Sanders. We'll talk soon.
This message is brought to you by NPR sponsor Lisa in collaboration with West Elm. Discover the new natural hybrid mattress, expertly crafted from natural latex and certified safe foams, designed with your health and the planet in mind. Visit leesa.com to learn more. This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. What's the right amount of socializing for you? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can help you figure out your social sweet spot. Try therapy with BetterHelp at betterhelp.com/NPR.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we have very important people on our show and then ask them about very unimportant things. Here's U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen.
We are also reliably informed that among your enthusiasms, in addition to macroeconomic policy, is mobile games.
There's some truth in that.
There's some truth in that.
Join us for the NPR podcast that considers all the other things. That's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.